Chapter 3, if you will, this morning. The book of Ruth, there in the Old Testament. The book, I don't know about y'all, but when I'm turning in my Bible looking for Ruth, I often go from Judges right into 1 Samuel because Ruth is such a small book and very few chapters, just four chapters, and easy to skip over. But Ruth chapter 3, been preaching out of the book of Ruth now for several weeks, and you say, well, preacher, how long are you going to do it? Don't know. Have no idea. Didn't know how long it lasts when it started. We'll preach till the Lord quits giving me something on it. But Ruth chapter 3, if you will, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he hath lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Now, we're going to leave off reading there. There is so much in the book of Ruth that it's hard to decide what to do and when to do as far as preaching. You know, in reading the different commentators on the book of Ruth, different ones say different things about the relationship between Ruth and Boaz. Some say Ruth was just a man, absolutely beautiful woman, and while other ones don't seem to think so, all right? But I tell you this, I haven't said anything about it until now, but I definitely believe there was an attraction between Ruth and Boaz. I believe when Boaz first saw her, I believe he thought, wow, who's that? Now, he did ask the question, who is that damsel, all right? But there was something about it. And I think it maybe was her looks that attracted. Usually it's people's looks that first attract them to somebody else. Now, the problem is, if that's the only attraction, then look somewhere else. Look somewhere else, all right? And Boaz, he watched Ruth, and boy, she was a person of great character, hard-working person, and we get to chapter 3. Basically, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest are now at an end. If you will, in chapter 2, the last verse of chapter 2, the Bible says, so they kept fast by the maids. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of a wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So we're talking about a passage of several months of time. Several months have gone by, and those, hey, by the way, those months have been filled with work, not playing. There hadn't been any playing and all that. It's work time, and continuously Ruth had gone out to the fields to glean, and gleaning is hard work. If you've ever picked vegetables out in the field, I don't mean off the counter in the grocery store, all right? I mean actually off the plant in the garden or on the farm or something like that, it's not easy work. It's difficult work, and it's usually hot and a difficult time. Well, Ruth had been doing that under the watch and the care and the protection of Boaz. Boaz had said, this is where you glean in my fields, and you'll be provided for. You won't have to worry. But harvest now has come to an end. It's right at the end of it. And Naomi steps in to assist Ruth in her relationship with Boaz. Won't you look there in verse 1? We read there in verse 1, said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Now, what she's talking about here is not, hey, you want to take a nap? Hey, you want to take a few days off? No. What she's talking about is marriage. Marriage. Now, some of you say, how do you get rest with marriage? You know. But, hey, in those days, things are a little different, all right? And by the way, it ought to be different today. But man's decided he's got a better idea. So Naomi had a very simple plan. And so that plan is what we're going to look at this morning. And I want to preach to you on the subject of readying for a relationship. Now, I'm not trying to marry you off. Some of you are already married. That would get into real trouble legally, all right? Not trying to do that. Some of you are single. Not trying to marry you off either. But what I am talking to you about is the steps, what she told Ruth to do, are things that it'd help us if we would do them to really develop, if you will, and bind ourselves together with a great closer walk with our Lord. And if you're a child of God, you ought to be concerned about how close your walk is with God. And you ought to have a desire about it. So the things she told Ruth to do are things we can learn from. Now I want you to notice there in verse 3, really she gives pretty much the whole outline of what she needed to do in verse 3. Notice the first thing she said, wash thyself. Wash thyself. Boy, don't you know it's a good thing to be clean? Good thing to be clean. Hey, Ruth been out working in the fields. She had spent time out working in the fields. Dirty work. You don't come in, you know, perspiring. You come in sweating, all right? And sweating is extreme perspiration, okay? If you've ever wondered the difference, that's what it is, all right? So, I mean, she had come in sweating, and we used to have a little boy. I think about this when I think of this. We used to have a little boy that came to school, and I don't know how he did it, but that little guy could get dirtier quicker than anybody I've ever known. He'd be in good shape, let him go on break. He'd come in, he was nasty. And I know he hadn't been digging out in the dirt. I don't know where, it just collected to him, all right? And a man is towards the end of the year and it's hot, and he'd come in and, you know, that sweat's running down his face, and you see those streaks, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about? The streaks in the dirt, you with me? All right, that was him. Well, hey, Ruth maybe had that. She'd been out dirty work. The Bible said, hey, first thing Ruth was told to do, Naomi said, here's what you need to do. You need to wash yourself up, all right? Can I say this to you? If you're going on a date, that's a good thing to do. It's really a good thing to be clean, all right? You said, preacher, that's kind of elemental. Yeah, I know, but sometimes we got to really start down the bottom, you know? Just wash yourself. Look, that washing obviously speaks of personal cleansing. But for you and I as a Christian, it speaks of holiness. It speaks of holiness. The holiness that's required if you're going to live on a spiritual plane instead of just on that physical, temporal plane, all right? If you're going to have a closer walk with God, you need to have that holiness. Take your Bible. Don't lose your place in Ruth. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Easy to find. It's right after 1 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Won't you notice what the Bible says to us? Hey, written to the New Testament church. Here's what it says, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hey, I tell you, you want a closer walk with God, then there's some things that we need to remember, we need to keep clean from. Clean from. I've come in before after working and being out in some particular thing that was involved and it'd be nasty, and I'd go to my wife and say, hey, how about a big kiss? And she'd say, how about no? You know, so I just wouldn't go for it. But we think, hey, you realize you can't do that with your husband, your wife. You can't do that. They're going to say, whoa, go take a bath, Jack, all right? And you get cleaned up, then we'll talk about it. But as a child of God, we don't think that it's necessary for us to have that same kind of cleanness on the spiritual side. But if we're going to get close to God, we need to remove those things from our life that would spoil us, that would soil us mentally, physically, and spiritually. We need to get those things. Get rid of those things. They need to be laid aside. You say, well, what are you talking about? Whatever messes you up. Whatever brings that filth on you. It could be books. It could be television. It could be some game even in this day. Sadly, it could be friends. Could be friends. We just go on and on. I don't know what it is. Look, if you've got any spirituality about you at all, you know. You know what it is. And the truth of the matter is, if you're tuned in with me, you've already thought of it. It's come into your life, come into your mind. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. I need to get rid of that. Why? Because it hinders your Christian growth. It hinders your relationship with the Lord. It keeps you from getting close to God. Why? Because we're spiritually dirty. Hey, we may be clean outwardly, but physically clean, but spiritually, inwardly. No, it's not that way at all. Not that way at all. Hey, those things, the Bible said, what do you need to do? Wash yourself. Wash yourself. Back there in Ruth, look at the next thing she was told to do. She says, and anoint thee. And anoint thee. Now that anointing would be what we'd call putting on some, you know, good smelling stuff. Putting on perfume. I don't think Ruth had been too much concerned about that kind of thing. Now, for a while, she wasn't concerned about it out in the field. If you're a hard worker, you're concentrating on being a hard worker, you don't perfume up to go to the field. All right? You don't say, well, my nails don't look too good. I need to get them done before. No, you go to the field. You don't worry about those things. Now, Ruth hadn't been concerned about them. But, hey, things were different now. And Naomi told her, look, you wash yourself, and then you put on some good-smelling stuff. I was reading J. Vernon McGee, an old-time radio preacher and Bible teacher. He said, I know what it was called. It was called Midnight in Moab, all right? Maybe it was. I don't know. But she was told, you put that on, you know. That stuff's going to make you smell good, all right? That's going to help you along the way. Now, you say, well, preacher, what in the world could that do for me as a Christian? Am I supposed to wear cologne or perfume? Hey, the anointing in the Scripture speaks of consecration. It's the sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. That's where it comes from. Take your Bible over there to the New Testament again, to John chapter 2, would you? John chapter 2. We want to see that. I want you to understand that anointing. I don't want you thinking about going to get you some Chanel number 5 or Christian Dior or whatever is popular nowadays, all right? But I just want you to look in the Scripture with me there and see what the Bible has to say about this thing. The Lord was speaking to his disciples, and I've got the wrong scripture written down, and that's embarrassing as all get out. So I will try to find it, all right? But what he talked about, though, is he told them it's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God that's going to come. If you're going to have a closer walk with him, what you have to learn to do is yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to him. And you say, what do you mean by that? Let me illustrate it this way, would you? Let me illustrate it this way. Lance, I'll pick on you. If you'd come here just a minute, I'm going to let you be the Holy Spirit. And that's a stretch, all right? But we will let you be the Holy Spirit. I'll be the sinner. Not a stretch at all. Okay? If the Holy Spirit is leading in our life, just hold my arm there, okay? Now, if he's leading, that means I'm to follow him. I'm to seek him. But here's what happens. Start walking. All right? He start walking, and we start doing this. Now, he doesn't do what the Holy Spirit doesn't do what he's doing. Okay? He's pulling and tugging. Holy Spirit won't do that. Holy Spirit, come back up here, all right? All right, the Holy Spirit doesn't do it. Grab my own elbow there, all right? The Holy Spirit wants to desire to lead me, and I'm to follow him, but it's a gentle tug. It's a gentle. So give me a tug, but don't let them. Hey, so gentle they can't see it, all right? All right? You don't know. Hey, it's a gentle tug. This is the way to go. But we're walking that way, and we see over there. And that's what happens. There's the Holy Spirit, but we're here. We're here. We lose that anointing. We lose that anointing. But if we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, we've got that sweet fragrance that comes from that relationship. You said, I can't smell a thing. It's not in your nostrils. It's in God's. Thank you, son. Hey, it's in God's. It's that sweet fragrance that comes up to him from us. From us. Why? We're in step with the Holy Spirit. So Naomi told Ruth, said, Ruth, here's what you need to do. Clean yourself up. Go wash real good. And then anoint yourself good, all right? That's what we need to do. But that anointing for us doesn't come. It's not some deal that we're praying and praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden, boom! I got it! I got it! No. It's that simple thing where you decide, I'll yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leading my life, I'll yield. I may think this is what I want to do, but no, Lord, I realize this is what I should do. So I'm not going to go there. I'll go here. I'll go here. I listen to him. Now listen, you've got to listen for the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the hard thing is, it's not going to be, hey, Jack, I'm talking to you. It's going to be that inward tug from God. You said, preacher, I don't know that I've felt that in a long time. That's because you've gotten away from God. You've gotten away from God. Oh, to have that relationship, to walk with him, to feel that gentle tug, to feel that leadership. That's what the Lord wants for us. Why? We're trying to ready ourselves for a relationship. So we're going to clean up. We're going to anoint ourselves. We're going to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Then back in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, notice it says, put thy raiment upon thee. She said, you need to change clothes. You need to change clothes. Now, I'll be honest with you. I could preach here for a while. But I'm not going to, all right? I'm not going to do it. It was time for Ruth to put off the widow garments. In those days, your spouse died. If it was your husband, you put on those widow garments. People saw you. They knew she's in mourning. They knew that. They knew that that person was in mourning. Hey, it was time for her to do it. Instead, now it's time for you to get at that special dress. You ever heard the expression, dress to impress? We've gotten away from that in this day. Now, most people seem like couldn't care less. Well, I don't care if you like what I look like or not. Well, you ought to if you're a child of God. You ought to care. There ought to be some concern in you. And so that's what Naomi was telling Ruth. Now, Ruth, look, you're on a mission. We're working to get you into a relationship here, and you need to change your dress, all right? Now, I want you to understand, it was dressed to impress, not dressed to seduce. Big difference, okay? Big difference. The whole fashion industry today, especially for you ladies, I'm convinced, is to convince you to dress so as to seduce and cause lusting on the part of somebody else. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Such a mistake. Such a mistake. You say, well, preacher, could you move along a little bit? I will. Because Paul gives instructions for us as to the change in the clothing that we need. He said, well, where did he say it? Look over in Colossians chapter 3. Look in Colossians chapter 3. And he doesn't say, hey, fellas, go out and get you one of them Hart, Schaffner, and Marx suits. I don't even know if they make those anymore, all right? But I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, he says something to us. He said, we're to change clothes. We're to change clothes. He said, what are you talking about? Well, look in verse 8, all right? Paul said to the church there, now, when I say Paul said, Paul's just saying what God told him to say, okay? But now, in verse 8, Colossians 3, 8, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another and forbearing one another. You understand, we're to dress different, all right? Put off that old man. Put off the old man. Get rid of him. All of his deeds, get rid of him. Instead, you dress that new man up in things that are becoming to the child of God. Things like holiness. Things like forgiveness. All of that kind of thing that's out there. Those things that testify to the change that was brought about by redemption in you. That's why it ought to change, okay? So why should it change? Because I've been born again. Something happened back yonder, and I put on a different one. I was speaking this morning in Sunday school, talking to the Sunday school class, and we were in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a man of great compassion. The problem with so many of God's people today, we've lost that compassion. We don't put that on. And that's why a lot of people in the world look at people that profess to be Christians and say, y'all are judgmental. Hey, can I say this to you? There's some things we are to judge. But the world shouldn't look at you and think you're judgmental. Well, I don't want you to judge me. I've had two different individuals in the last couple of months. I didn't talk to them, but somebody mentioned that they said this. I'm just afraid if I come to church, people will judge me. People will judge me. Now, when somebody says that, I honestly feel a little bit this way. They've already judged themselves. They've already judged themselves. And they realize, and what they're saying is, I know there's a problem. I know there's a problem. But can I say this to you? If we see them in the house of God, or we see them along the way somewhere, it ought to be, hey, how you doing? I care about you. Want you to know I love you. Well, I just want, we ought to have some compassion on people. Well, but what they're doing, preacher, and the way they are, it's their fault. And it usually is. But they don't need you to kick them in the teeth. They need you to put on that new man. Forgiving one another. Forbearing one another. Hey, listen, let me say this to you, all right? You're going to have a hard time having a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, you can't have one unless he forgives you. He has to forgive you. And he will. He does. We're to be that. We're to put on that new man. That new man. Now, do you remember, are you like me when I got saved? And I was just a kid. Just a kid. But I can see it now. Didn't recognize it then. The new man's clothes didn't fit too good. You with me? They didn't fit too good. Kind of had to get used to them, right? I had to get used to them. When I was a kid, I used this illustration. When I was a kid, Mom used to iron. She would starch our dress shirts for Sunday. Man, she had run those things. She washed them. They were all hand washed. She said, why don't you have a machine? It was a machine. You washed them by hand in the machine. Okay. It wasn't much of a machine. She would starch our shirts, and I remember going to church, and we'd have to wear a tie, and I remember going, oh, it's killing me. It's scratching my neck to death. I can't stand it. I didn't say that because Mom was in reach. But I felt that. I would gripe to my brother. He would gripe to me. And we were together in our misery. But today, I've got on a shirt that I had starched. And I wear a tie. Doesn't bother me a bit. Why? Well, I got used to it. I got used to it. It doesn't bother me. We had a service one time during the summer down on the ball field at our school. We had a trailer brought in. We had the Wills family sing. They sang. I stood on that trailer and in the shade of the trees, and I preached, and I wore a sports coat the whole time. Preached. Said, how could you do it? It was hot. I'm used to it. Amen. Got used to it. It's just what you get. You can do that. That new man doesn't fit on that old wicked sinner right away. Amen. We're kind of uncomfortable in that. But you ought to work to get used to it, all right? Change those clothes, all right? Change them out. put those traits in your life that testify and say to the world, hey, I've been born again. I now belong to Jesus Christ. That's why. But then I want you to notice there's one other thing that Ruth was instructed to do. In verse 4 it says, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt seek, mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. She was to go in and uncover his feet. Can I say this to you? When I read that as a kid, I said, this is the nuttiest thing I ever read in my life. What is going on? For a long time, I didn't understand what's happening. But it's tied in to everything. All right? And I'm not going to go in depth. I'm going to preach next Sunday. Some of these you're going to have to come next Sunday, all right, to hear it. But in that day, what was going on, men spent the night at the threshing floor. You said, why? To guard what had been threshed out. It was guarded so nobody would steal it. It was guarded so it wouldn't catch on fire somehow. Hey, this is the work, what you've worked all year to harvest, and this is what you're going to live on the rest of the year. You won't take care of it. So men, and not just one man, but they would sleep there with their head towards the what had been threshed out and their feet outward. They would go to sleep. That's what they were, all right? Now, uncovering his feet was absolutely not in any way immoral. Amen. I want you to grasp that thought. There was no immorality involved, one bit, all right? Really, what it was a proposal of marriage from Ruth. You said, well, that's the strangest way I've ever heard of proposing. Well, it was. People today try to manufacture the greatest, most amazing proposal ever been. They go to a stupid ball game and have the camera and it's on the screen, you know, at the ball field. And this guy gets down on his knee, you know, will you marry me? I've always wanted the girl to say, are you kidding? I thought that would be great, you know, but never have seen it happen that way. But people try to work out all these plans, you know. Well, this was really Ruth saying, hey, Boaz, I want you to marry me. That was really what was going on, all right? It was normal and right for a widow to approach a kinsman and remind him of his responsibility under the law to claim her as a kinsman redeemer. Now, we don't have that today. Some of you ladies may say, I might like to do that, you know. But we don't have that. Here's the way it worked, all right? Just try as if I could. My brother and I are obviously brothers. All right, we have the same mom and dad. In the Old Testament day, if you had a brother that married and died without having children, the law said that the brother of that one would then marry that widow and raise up children in his behalf of his brother, all right? So he could claim what belonged to him, all right? That was the plan. Now, I guarantee you, if you did that, you'd be interested in who your brother was marrying, wouldn't you? You just think about it. Would you have wanted to say, hey, no. No, no, not her. You need to speak to somebody else, all right? You need to find another one. Don't marry her, okay? But that was the law in that day, all right? And that's what was going on here. Ruth was told, you uncover his feet, he'll know what's going on because you uncover his feet, it's going to wake him up, all right? And then she said, you watch and what he does, and if he'll cover you with his garment, it means he'll take you to be his wife, all right? He'll take you. Now, you say, what's the application for us? Here it is. We're talking about a closer walk for our Lord. It involves, hey, cleaning up. It involves some anointing, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It involves a change of clothes, all right, putting on that new man. But then it comes to this point, it means putting ourselves under God's care. That's exactly what Ruth was saying to Boaz. I want to put myself under your care. Your care. Now, what does that mean? Ruth wanted a long-lasting relationship, and that's exactly what every Christian ought to desire with God. A close, personal relationship with the one who gave himself for us. We ought to have that desire. I want a relationship with God. Hey, now, wait a minute. Hey, she didn't just desire gifts. Now, somebody say, you know, I said there that a brother would be interested in who his brother was marrying, okay? On the other hand, I guess in this wicked day in which we live, the girl could marry one saying, I'm going to kill him and I'll get the other one. All right? He's the one with the money. Now, anybody married me or my brother married the wrong family if you're looking for money? You just went the wrong way, okay? But Ruth did not come to Boaz saying, I want gifts. Now, you hear me. I'm convinced that's the way Christianity is presented a lot of times today. You come to God and he'll give you everything you need. You can get everything. You can get all this stuff. Let me tell you this. The relationship we ought to want is, I don't want the gifts. I want the giver. I want the giver. I want him. I want him. I want that relationship with the one. It's not the gifts. It's a relationship with that individual. One of the problems today, if you're very wealthy, you got to be careful. People want your friendship because they want to use you. They want to use you. And you have to put up with that. Hey, Ruth said, I don't want to live on the leftovers anymore. I don't want to live on the gleanings of others. No, I want the giver. I want the one to give. She was ready to give herself and her love completely to Boaz. Ready to do that. Can I say this to you? If we're going to have a real close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our God, it requires us to give the same commitment. Same commitment. By the way, that's true in marriage also. That's true in marriage. It's got to be that I'm willing to give myself completely. completely. We're going to walk with the Lord. That kind of commitment. Hey, it's more than a casual friendship. It's more than that. It's more than an occasional visit. It's more than just, Lord, I'll see you the next time I feel like I need you. You said, preacher, ain't nobody feels that way. Well, they sure live like they feel that way. They live like they feel that way. You say, why do you have church 3 times a week? Because can't get people to come 4 times. And, well, I don't know about y'all, but I need that relationship. I remember when I married my wife. I barely remember it, but I remember it. When I married her, I didn't marry her and say, okay, sweetheart, I'll see you in a few days. Got to spend some time with the boys. I was tired of spending time with the boys, man. I won't spend time with her. That's where, man, that was it. I won't spend time with her. Don't tell you this, as a child of God, I won't spend some time with him. I want to know what it is to have that relationship, that closeness, to where you can call on him anytime and know. I hear people say, well, preacher, I pray and I just don't feel like the Lord hears me. I'm glad I've never felt that way. I want to have that close relationship. I want you to have that close relationship with him. Whereas, hey, I want the relationship. I want the giver. It's not the gifts I want. It's the giver I want. I want to know him. I want to know what it is to be close to him, to know him, have that personal relationship, not an occasional visit, not just showing up once in a while saying, how's it going, God? No. Daily. Daily. To walk with him. To feel that closeness. That's exactly what Ruth wanted. That's what Naomi told her. She said, you do these things, you can do it. You can do it. Hey, Christian, I'll tell you this. You can have as close a walk with God as you want. Nobody can have a closer walk with him than you can have. But it's up to you. She said, no, it's up to God. No, it's up to you. Strictly up to you. Because his invitation is come. Come. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Naomi said, hey, Ruth, I'm going to seek rest for thee. Seek rest for thee. The Lord's already invited us to come. But our problem is we don't come, or we come with reservations. We come and say, well, Lord, I'll give you everything except this or that. No, it's not unreserved. I want your care. I want you to take care of me. Listen, if you'll clean that life up, you'll yield to the Holy Spirit. If you'll put on that new man, then you'll be ready for the relationship that God desires with you. He desires it. And so where are you going to find it? At the feet of Jesus. Naomi said, you uncover his feet. You lay down there at his feet. And then do what he says. Do what he says. That's exactly how you have the relationship you want with the Lord. You come to him. Here I am. I'll take what you'll give me, Lord. But I just want to know you. Paul said that I may know him. Oh, to have that relationship. He said, I can't do it. You can. You can if you want to. The question is, will you do it? Will you do it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Let me ask you this morning, hey, what